As many of you know, we usually feature a book around this time on the program. And sticking with our look back theme, we called up Sharon K. Penman to ask her about some of the best historical fiction she's read this year. Penman is herself an author of historical fiction. Her latest book is called Lionheart. It's about Richard I of England. And unsurprisingly, 2011 featured a lot of historical fiction set in merry old England.
Well, as far back as I can remember, the Tudors have been hogging the limelight.
Which I guess leads us to your first pick, which is by Margaret George. It's the book called Elizabeth I. Why'd you pick that one?
Well, I think Elizabeth is the only good Tudor, to be honest. And this is Elizabeth in her autumn. And Elizabeth must have been a great challenge for her to write, because this was a very enigmatic woman. We know a lot about Elizabeth, but I'm not sure that we know Elizabeth, the woman herself. And I think that Margaret makes great progress toward bringing her out into the limelight so that we feel by book's end that we do know her.
Your next pick, this takes us back several centuries earlier. Yeah. It's The Dovekeepers by Alice Hoffman, who was on this program talking about the book. And it's about the Jewish rebels at Masada.
This is without a doubt one of the most powerful books I've ever read. The story of Masada, of course, is a great tragedy. I think most people are somewhat familiar with it. And the whole time that I was reading this book, I was caring so much for the characters that she created. And I found myself dreading the end of the book, thinking, oh, am I up to reading this? Because I knew that it was going to end in a terrible tragedy. And it was amazing what she was able to do. She stayed true to the history of Masada, and yet she still managed to give her readers hope. Hmm. It was not like, you know, running into a wall. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why she's one of our best novelists.
The next novel that you recommend is also has a real-life figure in it. It's based on the life of the first Native American to attend Harvard. It's the book's by Geraldine Brooks, and it's called Caleb's Crossing. Tell me about that one.
This was a surprise for me because I'm embarrassed to admit I had not read any of Geraldine Brooks' novels up until now, and it's not as if she was flying under the radar.
Right.
She's a very well-known writer. She's an Australian writer, and I'm now looking forward to being able to read all of her earlier books. Caleb's Crossing is just remarkable. She takes us back to 17th century Massachusetts, and she brings into focus the religious bias that existed then and the strain and the stress that was bound to occur when you had a clash of civilizations, in this case the Native Americans and the Puritans, the colonists. Caleb is a fascinating character in himself, but I think that the most interesting character in the entire book is Bethia, the minister's daughter, who becomes a very close friend of Caleb's. This young woman has a soaring intellect and an absolute hunger for knowledge, and yet she is not allowed to feed that hunger because she is simply a woman. Hmm. So I think any of my female readers who read this book will come away thinking, thank God that they didn't live in the 17th century.
Right. The book is Caleb's Crossing by Geraldine Brooks. The next book that you chose is maybe a little bit pulpier than the others, and I don't want to discount it. It's by Bernard Cornwell, who we've had on the program. He's a great writer. This one's called Death of Kings, and it's actually the sixth book in a series about Saxon England. Was it difficult to jump into the series at the sixth book?
I was concerned about that, actually. I thought, well, if I can read this book and follow it, and if it reads as a standalone to me, then that would be true for the audience as well. And I found that he pulled me in from the first page. This is an absolutely wonderful book. Unfortunately, it was too good because after I finished it, I had then to go back and read the first five books in the series. Real life came to a screeching halt. And if my editor happens to be listening, I want her to know that if I miss my deadline for a King's Ransom, I am blaming it all on Bernard Cornwell.
Cornwell.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Another book you picked is The Paris Wife. This is by Paula McLean, and it is set against a well-worn, well-known backdrop, Paris in the 1920s.
This is really an unusual book in that I think some people might not see it as historical. there's always an argument as to where the cutoff point is for that. But to me, she was writing about a bygone age, as you say, the golden age in Paris in the 1920s. And I think she did an amazing job of bringing it to life. In some ways, it may have been more challenging for her because she was writing about people we're more familiar with. I mean, most of us, of course, were not lucky enough to have met Ernest Hemingway in person, but we're very familiar with the man.
Right.
Yet Scott and Zelda Fitzgerald, she has some very well-known people in this book. And yet I think that the person who will linger in the reader's imagination the most and memory is Hadley, Hemingway's wife, perhaps because she wasn't as gifted as they were. She was more like the rest of us.
The Paris Wife by Paula MacLean. Sharon Cape Hemman, let me ask you a question. As a historical novelist yourself, what do you look for in other historical novels? Do you need evidence that the author really spent a lot of time researching the period and getting it right?
I do, absolutely. But then I'm obsessive compulsive about things like that. I feel that historical novelists owe it to our readers to try to be as historically accurate as we can with the known facts. Obviously, we have to fill in the blanks, and then in the final analysis, we're drawing upon our own imaginations. But I think that readers need to be able to trust an author.
That's Sharon K. Penman. She's a connoisseur and author of historical fiction. Her latest book is called Lionheart, and you can read more about her picks on our website, npr.org/books. Sharon K. Penman, thank you so much, and happy holidays to you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your giving me the opportunity to be here today.